This is Amber Ray
and Rusty Tanton,
and you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show focused on all things Atlanta and sometimes elsewhere. Hello, people. It's February 17th, and we're doing another talkie. This is actually our first regular audio episode of Mostly ITP for this year. We kind of took a bit of a hiatus. Well, not a bit of a hiatus. We did take a hiatus.
Yeah, pretty serious hiatus.
In January, and then we did the really awesome video. And when I say we, I mean Rusty, because that was all him. And it was really cool. And so now we're back for some regular old podcasting. And the first thing that we have today is very exciting. We have two voicemails from Nobilis, who is apparently a listener who is now hooked. And he called in the other day and left some messages, so we want to play those right away for you.
Yes. Voicemail number one coming right up.
Hello, this is Nobilis. I'm commenting on the 2007 wrap-up on Mostly ITP. I only just discovered this podcast. Amber's name was given to me as an interesting podcaster, and I have since contacted you guys through email. But I figured it would be a good idea to listen to a few of your podcasts in that pursuit. And I just listened to that, like I said, 2007 wrap-up. And I'm pretty impressed. It sounded like it was a fun year. I'm looking forward to further. So this podcast is definitely going in my feed reader to pick up the more of them as they come out and go along. And so you've got a new listener. Bye.
And the second voicemail, also from Nobilis, who, by the way, the reason that he contacted us was he was inviting me to Balticon. So we're going to go this year.
Yeah. Where is it in? Somewhere in Maryland?
It's in Baltimore. Really excited.
Very cool. Yeah, Baltimore is cool. All right. So voicemail number two coming right up.
Hey, this is Nobilis again. I'm listening now to some listener feedback show for Mostly ITP. And you were talking about the words play and scene and how you really didn't like them very much. Curious to hear what you think of the euphemism encounter. It's not something I've heard a great deal, but as an author, I use it sometimes. And I'm just curious what you think of that word. Bye.
Great question. I was wondering when we were going to get people responding to that. And I actually did chat with somebody else about it on IM.
We should probably just summarize and say what our opposition to the
Well, we were just
was.
Talking about how the words play and scene when talking about sex are just kind of annoying.
Well, I think it's like a lot of other words, like play, for example. Well, play is its own thing, but scene, for example, is one of those words that I and I think a lot of other folks we've spoken with agree have very legitimate usages, like when you're, say, doing some S&M stuff and you're actually playing out a scene where there's role-playing involved. I think there's legitimate usage for the word scene then, but it's like everything else. It ends up getting overused and
turned into a verb.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so we had just ranted about that a little, and I kind of expected to get some
blowback.
Yeah, and so if people were put off, I guess they were so put off that they just can't even contact us about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, encounter, I think that's actually good. I hadn't heard that.
Tell you the truth, I haven't heard the word encounter either much.
But I like it because... And maybe I just like it because it doesn't have the baggage that the other two have, but I like it.
Okay.
So the verdict is cool. Thumbs up for encounter.
Excellent. Okay.
Also, I don't know why any of you people that we talked to on Friday night when we were all standing around the movie theater after we saw the really horrible movie Jumper, somehow it came around to Roach Stories. It always comes around to Roach Stories. And we were all telling roach stories and bug stories and snake stories. And somebody said, hey, that would make a great topic for a podcast. And we said, well, why don't you guys call the voicemail line, each of you, you have until Sunday, each call and leave a bug story. And everybody
there
said...
There were lots of good bug stories.
Yeah, everybody said, oh, we'll definitely call. We'll leave this story. Nobody called. So what is wrong with you people? Why didn't you call in your bug stories? Please call them in and we'll play them on the next talkie.
To be fair, Jen did submit one via Twitter, but we're not totally sure we should talk about that one because Tony seemed a little uncomfortable with it.
We were torn. Rusty wanted to mention it because he was like, well, she put it out there. But then I was like, well, at the movie theater, he seemed to think that it was too embarrassing and then he might be mad at us or he might be mad at Jen. And I don't really want to be responsible for any drama.
Yeah, so I would suggest Tony call that one in.
Yeah.
If we're actually going to air that. All right, so next thing. We went to the strippers' ball last night. We went to a sex club called Trapeze where Swinging Atlanta was holding a strippers' ball, to be a little more detailed. Amber was a participant. Would you like to talk about that?
Maybe you should talk about it first.
Okay, well, I don't know. What do you want to know?
I want you to give your impressions of it because I obviously have a biased perspective.
Sure. Okay, well, the basic setup was round about 11 p.m. First of all, I should say that Swinging Atlanta, I think every once in a while, throws these parties at Trapeze in 1763 and a couple of other places. And they always attract a really good crowd and good as far as size. And last night was no exception. Last night, there were a lot of people, probably as packed as I've ever seen Trapeze. We've been there probably four or five times. And every time, there's been a crowd there. But I think this was the biggest crowd. So as far as the actual strippers ball, it was a contest where everybody got to get up for a minute in one round and dance and or do whatever else. And it was judged by applause. And then in the second round, it was a sort of freestyle thing where everybody got up there. And then in the third round, they picked three finalists by applause and let the three finalists do something out there. Am I accurate so far?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So Amber was a participant. She was actually the very first person to go. And yeah, she did great. She did absolutely great. One of the things that we were a little worried about going into this particular contest was that it wouldn't be judged so much on stripping ability so much as high school spring break standards, you know, if you get out a tit and lick it or something that...
Yeah, and I knew, and that's what my friends from pole dancing class, Lisa and Liz, came, and I was really excited that they came. It was really good to have them there, and we just had fun anyway. But yeah, they said they weren't judging on actual ability. They were judging on spring break, which frankly, I think is kind of silly if you're in a sex club. Like, why is it exciting for someone to flash their tits when there's plenty of people walking around topless anyway?
It's like, you're going to be watching some fucking later, really. You're going to get that excited by a titty getting licked?
But I knew that it was going to be like that ahead of time. I knew that, but I still kind of, I don't know what I thought. I don't know if I even got my hopes up or what, but I just... Because I had emailed the guy, Brent, who runs Swinging Atlanta, and he coordinates all their parties and everything. And we've exchanged emails because he's involved with helping me promote Sex 2.0. And I asked him, you know, just what is the format of this going to be? Because I wanted to know what to expect. And he wrote back and he was like, well, it's really not all that formal. It's really a very casual thing for the ladies to have a chance to strut their stuff. And it's really more about having fun and being sexy than actual talent. And that statement stuck in my craw in a real bad way because...
Well, is there a good way for something to stick in your craw?
Well, no, but I mean like in a particularly bad way. Because it sets up like a dichotomy. Like they're supposed to be mutually exclusive. Like on one hand, there's having fun and being sexy. And on the other hand, there's being talented. Mm-hmm. And like, and it also plays into that expectation that, you know, to be a stripper, you don't have to have any actual talent. And it just, it annoyed me on multiple levels and frankly pissed me off. And so I was kind of disappointed after that, that's what the contest was going to be. But I thought, well, maybe I'll still do it. And then when we got there on Saturday night, I just was feeling like, oh, maybe I won't do it after all. And they got down to where they were announcing contestants to come up and sign up. And I hadn't gone up. And then they said, after this song, the stripper's ball is going to start. So if anybody wants to be in it, come up. And I said, well, I'm not going to do it unless Liz and Lisa get here before this song is over. And lo and behold, Liz and Lisa got there before the song was over. Yeah. And I asked, I was like, you guys, should I still do it? What should I do? And they were like, yeah, do it. And I was really nervous, but I decided I'll just do it. And as it turns out, apparently Brent had already put my name in, because when they announced the contestants, one of them was Amber, unless there were two Ambers. I don't think there were. And then we all got up there on the dance floor. They have a dance floor with a pole in the middle of it. We all lined up, and he basically just said, you know, he's going to call out the participants by number, and you go up and do your thing for about a minute. So I was contestant number one. He called me to go up there, and I did, and I think I did good.
You did just fine.
I mean, it's hard to say because I can never see myself, but Rusty said I did good. Liz and Lisa said I did good.
Well, you did.
And so... they said that I was the most pretty looking and
yes,
in
you were
my
graceful
movements and everything.
Nobody else up there really was.
They said
all
I
that
was
graceful.
The only one that actually danced, which that part was true. But then the problem was, after I was done, I felt pretty good about it, but I was still a little nervous, and I went back to my spot. And then contestant number two goes up there, and what does she do? The first thing she does is climb up the pole and do a layback. And you know what? I didn't do either of those things, even though I can, and I had actually been hoping that, you know, I would be able to do those, but I didn't do either of those things because the pole felt way too slippery, and I didn't want to take any chances. And somehow, she managed to do it. And she also, well, like, took her top off. And,
well, here's the other thing. Like, she and the other girl she was dancing with, they sort of combined the elements of, here, we're going to do something cool on the pole, and spring break. And you know what? They didn't win either.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, they clearly weren't judging on any sort of talent-based criteria.
And then contestant number three was actually three girls that all went up there together and were just, like, grinding on each other.
Yeah.
You know, after that, I was feeling discouraged. I didn't go back out for round two or anything because, you know, at that point, people had been just getting progressively more spring breakier, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like doing that. And anyway, I mean, overall, it kind of sucked. But
we had fun later.
Yeah, then Liz and Lisa and I, a little bit later, we got up on the dance floor and danced on the pole and started doing stuff like going upside down and climbing and everything, and we had a lot of fun. So it wasn't a total wash. Or is that a good thing or bad thing for something to be a wash?
A wash is a bad thing.
It wasn't a total wash.
Yes.
And then Rusty and I had sex, and that was fun. And then we came back out, and there were these two drunk women who were trying to get me to tell them how to climb the pole.
I don't know what the deal was, but it seemed like there were more really drunk people. Like, I don't have a problem with anybody having, like, a beer or two to loosen up a little bit, but, I mean, there were some seriously, like, dangerously intoxicated people there. This one woman who was on the floor, she actually, I don't even know what she was trying to accomplish, but she climbed over the handrail that was by the dance floor, and she actually fell over the damn thing and landed on her back. And the other thing is that another woman she was out on the floor dancing around with, they were both trying to climb the pole, and neither of them could do it right. So one of them was a white woman and a black woman, and the white woman was under the black woman's ass, and they both had kind of big asses, so it was kind of a comical scene in a way. She was pushing her up the pole, and it would be comical if it didn't have the potential to end so badly.
These were the two people who wanted me to teach them how to climb the pole. We were first watching this spectacle when we were sitting over at a table eating breakfast, and we were watching them trying to climb the pole, not being able to do it, and then it moved on to the white woman trying to hoist the black woman up the pole, and yeah, it could have ended badly. And then after we were done eating, I went up there and started doing some stuff, And then they were both like, oh, show me how to do that. Show me how to climb. Because I went up and climbed. And I was like, well, it's really not something that you can just do. It takes practice. It's not, it's kind of unsafe if you're not used to it. And trying to dissuade them because not only were they inexperienced, but they were also drunk.
One of them was really
drunk. One of them was really fucking drunk. But then they persisted. So I tried to show them really quick, okay, here's the right way to position your arms and your feet and everything. They couldn't do it. They wouldn't do it the right way. Like, the white woman kept, like, putting the bottom part of her foot, like, on the pole. Like, just stupid shit. Finally, I taught the black woman how to do the fireman spin, and she did it, and she was very happy, and that was the end of that.
Yeah.
But it could have been bad.
That could have ended very badly. I mean, seriously, she climbed probably a solid 5-6 feet off the ground. She didn't climb there. She was hoisted up there. And I mean, you know, she was drunk enough. She could have fallen off, broken her neck. And I mean, there could have been some serious legal and not legal problems, not to mention the physical injury and potential of death.
And so, yeah, I don't know. I think overall we had fun that night. I had fun with Liz and Lisa, and obviously Rusty and I had fun during Sexy Time.
Yeah, Sexy Time was really good.
And it was.
So that part I can't complain about.
Can't complain about that.
That part was really good, in fact.
But I do think that my trapeze days might be... I might have had my fill for a while.
Yeah, we ended up accidentally buying the 3-month membership when we'd meant to buy a year membership. And so our 3-month membership expires, I guess, April 4th, something like that. So we may make one more trip out between now and when the membership expires. But if we do, it'll be at the end of March.
It's just, I mean, I really do think that the thing I said months and months ago when we first talked about sex clubs, before we ever had a good experience at one, I do think it still stands that sex clubs are a much better idea in theory than in practice.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be in a place where there's so many people that have to get so drunk before they can do anything. And like Rusty said, there were more last night than there were a few other times we've been, but I mean, there were some fucking drunk people there.
Well, there was one woman we saw probably when we were close to leaving around 2 or 2:30 in the morning who was actually passed out drunk on the couch and there was nobody around her. I mean, I don't know if her significant other was off, if she was single or what, but she was passed out drunk on the couch. Mm-hmm. And I think if you got to get that drunk to go, you shouldn't be going. So, I guess the other thing that this led into last night is we just would like for there to be a place where you could go and have a pole dancing contest without it being spring break and without it being to the other extreme of being some professional gymnastics competition. Something where people could just go out and have fun.
Yeah. Have fun, be sexy, and be talented. Imagine that.
Yeah, craziness. Yeah. So I guess that's about it for that.
That's it for that. Our next topic is really just a question. If anybody knows how delegates work, can you please call and let us know?
Referring to the presidential election, because honestly, I've been following politics myself for years and years and years. I write a politics blog. And yet, I honestly am still a little befuddled by how the whole delegate system works.
And I was telling Rusty the other night, I was like, has it always been like this?
This,
like,
convoluted?
It's a miniature electoral college. Like, however many votes a candidate gets in the primary, they get a certain number of delegates.
I don't really get how super delegates work.
And I don't know how super, that's a whole other thing that I don't know. But I'd always heard of delegates, but I thought that they were kind of like advocates or something. I mean, but apparently it's an actual job.
I mean, I knew of their existence, but I'm still a little befuddled by the whole,
I mean,
how the whole thing works.
What do they actually do?
Yeah. So anyway, if you have a good answer for that, because we don't, give
Please
us a call,
call
678-389-9441. And also, if you just want to call and, you know, chat, that'd be good.
Next topic.
Next topic. All right. So social media conferences. We went to PodCamp Nashville, I guess a weekend or two ago. And I don't know. I don't know if it's just because I've been to so many of these conferences. I don't know how much of it, I should say, is because of it. But I really am starting to feel like a lot of these conferences in general are just kind of becoming hype fests and a little less about what they were intended to do to begin with, more about, I don't know, God.
Selling stuff.
I mean, it's not even so much that, because I don't think PodCamp Nashville was as bad from that perspective so much as just, I don't know, the format of PodCamp Nashville. And don't get me wrong, you know, let me just say that they did a great job with promotion and organization, all of that stuff that you do before the conference actually starts. They did a great job with that. I'm sure that if they put on an event next year, maybe they'll hear some of the criticisms and adjust it, and it'll be a spectacular event. But this year, I felt the format was really limiting. It was, everybody was in one room. There was only one track going on at once. And we just sat there and listened to whoever was on stage giving a presentation. And the venue was set up in a way where there wasn't really a way to exercise the law of 2 feet and to go do something else, because there weren't breakout rooms. There wasn't space that had, say, projectors or even really tables or anything like that. So I don't know. I don't know what the point of these things is, if it's just going to have all the trappings of a traditional conference where you're just going to go there and people are going to speak at you all day.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is, too, is that you start to feel like you don't know if the people are being authentic either, which the whole point, or a big part of the point, is supposed to be authenticity. And I do recognize that a lot of the time, that's another one of those things that is really great in theory, but then in practice, it can't be quite as, you know, this purist thing as it can be in theory. But, I mean, you just start to feel like they're just spouting a party line or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. And, like, there was this guy who was...
I think you need to be able to call bullshit on yourself every once in a while, you know.
You need to call bullshit on yourself and other people and have that be a constructive thing.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. There was this guy that was sitting at the table, the same table with me, and Rusty was off taking some video, and he had been sitting there for a few hours and we hadn't spoken, and I thought that was awkward, so I decided to try to talk to him. And Dave, who was one of the organizers of PodCamp Nashville, was giving a presentation on Twitter, and he said something that just kind of struck me. He said it was something like, you don't use Twitter to just promote what you're trying to sell. It was something along those lines.
It's kind of like common sense.
And
it seems,
I was like,
but...
oh, do people think that's what you use it for? Because that hadn't occurred to me that people would think that is what you use it for.
Yeah.
And so I said something about that to the guy and, you know, trying to break the ice and everything. And then he was like, well, if people are interested in what you're selling, then they like to get those kinds of tweets. And I was like, no, but listen, don't you think that it's a lot better to get a tweet about something like that if it's from somebody who kind of has a personality and that's not all they talk about, and you kind of know who they are as a person, you get a sense of that, and you're interested in what they're doing. And so you're obviously going to be interested in what they're promoting, but it helps if they have a personality. I was like, right, don't you agree with that? He's like, well, I mean, if you signed up to follow them to get their promotional blah, blah, blah. Like, and he was just a total asshole.
Yeah.
So I was like, fine.
Well, I mean, we chatted with him earlier. I don't know. He was an asshole, but what do you do?
Anyway.
I guess, do we have anything else? I mean, I guess I did want to touch briefly, since that was our first video podcast ever. I just wanted to mention to all you folks who might be thinking about video, video is a lot of work to do properly. I think that was a 5-minute podcast that we put together. It was 4 minutes, 45 seconds, and 4 minutes of that was the actual substance of the video. 45 seconds of it was credits. And I don't know, I spent a whole day putting that together. And it's just proportional. Like with these audio podcasts, we kind of just turn the mics on, we record, we might do a little bit of post-production, maybe a little bit sometimes, and then we throw them up on the internet. And I don't know, I really like the format better because we can actually expound on things and not plan everything ahead of time.
Yeah, I know, and I've told people this before, but I think experiencing it, and I only experienced it vicariously, it's true that he spent a day on it. And the video turned out awesome. But that's the thing, like I tell people, if you're going to do video, you better have a good reason to do it, and you better be prepared to spend a lot of your time on it.
Yeah, I mean, understand to do it properly, it's an incredible time commitment versus audio. And, you know, to do good audio, obviously you should put some thought into what you're going to talk about ahead of time, but you're not asking people to engage with both their eyes and their ears. You know, they can sit here and listen to a conversation in the background while they do something else, or while they're driving their car, while they're working, while they're doing a million other things. And it's not nearly as much of a time commitment on your part. So just whatever you're doing, just pick the right medium for it and understand how much effort is involved with putting it together. In our case, I think we want to do an occasional video, but we still plan to keep this primarily an audio podcast.
Yeah. So, a couple of other real quick things that are conference related. First of all, I mentioned earlier, we're going to Balticon, and we are really, really excited about it. We are excited about going to more conferences that are not just like social media conferences.
Get out of the fishbowl.
And I'm going to be on some panels at Balticon. I don't know which ones yet, but they're going to be about like sex and podcasting and that kind of thing. So that is going to be very exciting.
I'm really looking forward to Balticon. I think it's going to be fun.
It's going to be awesome. I've heard nothing but good things about it from people who have been.
It's been around for what, 40 years?
This is its 42nd year.
42 years.
And Nobilis told me that about 2,000 people usually show up. So it's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah. I guess the closest equivalent to local folks listening would be to Dragon Con. Dragon Con's probably
times as big.
It's 10 times as big, but it's also, I don't know.
It's only been around for half the time.
Only been around half the time.
So the other conference-related thing is Sex 2.0 is mere weeks away, and I'm getting more and more nervous, but also excited because I've got some people actually helping me now. But there are a few pertinent things that have changed. Number one, our venue has changed. All the details about why that happened are on the website, but it's now going to be held at 1763, which is a really great facility. And it's set up as a dungeon, but it's going to work really well for Sex 2.0 as well. And also, the prices are, it's now like a tiered thing. And actually, the last day to get the $10 early bird registration is today. So,
but by the time you hear this, it might have already expired.
I mean,
we're recording this on, what, Sunday? Sunday
at like 8 o'clock p.m. So we might put it up tonight, but you have to get those tickets by 11:55 p.m. tonight.
Yeah, you're probably not going to hear it in time. It'll probably be $40 by the time
you hear this. So it's $40 starting tomorrow, and then it's $50 starting like, what is it, like March 28th or something?
Somewhere around there.
Just go to sex20con.com, and we're going to play a little promo for it
at the end, yeah. So last thing, just again, we love voicemails. We'll play whatever crazy-ass thing you decide you want to say. 678-389-9441.
Bye.
Are you tired of going to tech conferences and being called a dirty slut who hates America? Well, fret no more. Sex 2.0, an unconference focused on the intersection of social media, feminism, and sexuality, is coming to 1763 in Atlanta on April 12, 2008. Go to sex20con.com to find out more and to reserve your spot. And I promise, no one at this conference will say you deserve to get fired from your day job for posting naked photos online.
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.